Welcome, everyone, to Awakening Talks with Compelling People. I'm Connie Shaw, and tonight's guest is Claire Pepin of Loveland, Colorado, who is going to do part two of her experiences with Mother Mary. Claire, welcome back to the show again.
Thank you, Connie. It's very good to be back.
It's delightful to have you. We didn't have enough time the first time to hear all of the things that you have to share tonight. I am wondering if you'd be willing to tell us about your experiences with the miraculous metal dream, and then the gift from your mother, and then the various things that occurred as a result of that.
Sure. I think it might be most fitting if I start with the dream that I had of the miraculous metal.
Good.
I was just getting ready to start my new work in doing news and weather and so forth on the air at a local radio station in Houston, Texas, and it was going to be my very first time to go into live broadcast work. And that night, I had a dream where I was driving on the freeways of Los Angeles, and I ended up at this beautiful sandy beach. And there were all these people there at the beach as well. They were all romping and having fun. And I was walking toward the shore, and I wasn't dressed in beach attire like everyone else. And it was as if I was invisible to them. They didn't mm-hmm. even see me.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked down, and I saw in the palm of my hand was a miraculous medal. And I'm going to share what a miraculous medal is later on in this story. But for right now, just so you'll know, it was a miraculous medal, and I knew somehow that I needed to throw it into the ocean, but I didn't know if it would reach, but I knew I needed to try. So I reached as far back as I could, and I threw it as hard as I could, and it landed in the ocean, and then there was this explosion of light. And I knew in my heart that something wonderful was happening. I didn't know what, but just something wonderful. Well, when I woke up from the dream, I noted to myself that I needed to remember this dream. There was something very significant about it. And I got dressed and headed toward work, and I realized, well, I have a little bit of time to stop off at my mother's house. I'm going to do that and then head on to work. So when I saw my mother, she said, "Claire, listen, before you leave, I want to give you something. When I was at this used bookstore, I found this on the floor, and for some reason, and I don't know why, I needed to give it to you." And so she reached her hand out and put it in the palm of my hand, the very hand that I remember seeing the miraculous medal in the dream the night before. And when she moved her hand away, I saw that it was a miraculous medal. Now, what's interesting about this is my mother didn't even know what it was because we're not Catholic. Catholicism was not in our family, so but somehow she knew she needed to give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I thanked her for this, and I said, "Mom, thank you so much. I had a dream about this, too. So there's something very important about you giving this to me, and thank you." Well, then I headed off to work, and when I showed up at my new job, there was a gentleman sitting there in front of the microphone doing the news and the weather and the traffic, but he was sitting in a wheelchair. And when he was done and went off the air, he looked at me and he said, "Hello, my name is Steve. You must be my relief." And I said, "Yes, I'm Claire." And the next thing I knew, there was this thought that passed through my mind that said, "So how long do you think you're going to be in that wheelchair?" And I thought again to myself, "Oh my gosh, how could I have thought such a thing? I certainly wouldn't ask him something like that. I wouldn't want to hurt his feelings." And he looked at me and he said, "Oh, you mean this?" And he pointed to the chair as if he had actually heard the thought out
yes.
loud. And I know
thought.
I didn't say it out loud. I argued with it, in fact.
Right.
So I said, "Yeah." I mean, I had to know by now that something was up, so I had to go along with it. "Yeah, that chair. Yeah, that's what I mean." So he said, Well, he said that his doctor had told him that he was never going to walk again, and he was learning how to adjust to that idea and emotionally adjust to it, and it had already been 6 months that he'd been in the chair, and that's what was going on with him with that. And I felt this burst of energy inside of me that just, I couldn't hold myself back at this point. Now I was in agreement at this point to say something that I would never normally say to anyone. But I said this to him. I said, I don't believe you have to spend the rest of your life in that chair. There's so much you can do for your health. There's so much in the holistic field. And not only that, there's miraculous metals. I didn't say that, actually. I was thinking it. There's miraculous metals. Mm-hmm. I said, there are miracles. Let me tell you a story about a miracle. So first I started with telling him, I've got to tell you about this dream I had last night because it's so synchronistic to our conversation right now. So I told him about the dream, about how I was at the beach and threw it into the ocean and there was all this light and it was a miraculous metal that I threw in. And I said, do you know what a miraculous metal is? And he said, no. I said, well, I've got to tell you this story. In the 1800s, there was a young woman who lived in France named Catherine Laboureille. She was a young novice nun. And I also prefaced this with telling him, and I'm not Catholic. I just know about this story from other experiences that I have had, so I'm sharing it with you now. So I said, Catherine Laboureille received visions from Mother Mary. And there was a message. She asked her to strike a medal of the vision that she was showing her and get this out to the people soon because there was about to be some great challenges for the people politically and otherwise. And of course, Catherine lived in France, but she got the medals struck. It took her some time to get some help and convince people that it needed to be done. But once it was done, the medals started to get out there, and it spread throughout different parts of France and beyond. Shortly after that, the bubonic plague hit Europe, and everyone who got the medal did not contract the plague. This is historic. I need to preface. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, isn't it also true that people that have worn the miraculous medal in wars have been protected from injury or death?
There have been many stories about experiences of protection.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
In
this particular case, even people who had the plague already but later got the medals did not perish from the plague. This is historic information.
Yes.
And so, so as I shared the story with the gentleman, his name is Steve. He looked at me teary-eyed, and he's like, oh, this is a beautiful story. And I said, Steve, I want you to have a miraculous medal. So I gave it to him, and very quietly to myself said a quick prayer for him. And he started to cry, and he said, it's so good to know that someone cares. And I said, Steve, everyone cares. It's just that some of us have forgotten that we care. But it's
yes.
still there.
Yes.
Forgottenness is something that can sometimes cover up something, but it will never get rid of the real care that every human being has. And so he said, listen, I want this medal. I was raised Jewish. I don't care. I want this medal. Thank you so much for this.
Well, whatever happened to Steve?
Well, I got to tell you, it was just a couple of days later, I get this phone call from a friend of mine who is a minister that I had been working with at his church, helping the homeless. And he says, listen, we're going to L.A. They want to work with us on doing some filming about the work that we're doing and with someone else that is involved in this work, and we would love for you to come with us. And I said, oh, my gosh, I just started this brand-new job. I don't know if I can go. And, you know, I'm a little, you know, the finances and everything, just starting a new job. I don't even know if I can get the time off. And he said, let's see what we can do. Well, as it turned out, they had an extra frequent flyer ticket, and I was able to get the time off from work.
Oh,
so I went with them to L.A. One of the meetings that we needed to go to was out in Malibu. Now, the interesting thing about Malibu is there are no sandy beaches there.
Oh, mm-hmm.
However, the restaurant that we were going to, called Castle, it just so happens there's a small strip of a sandy beach there. And when I saw that, I knew, oh my gosh, this is where I need to throw the miraculous metal into the ocean, just as I did in the dream. And there I was in my stocking feet and high heels walking out onto the beach, and I couldn't really get too close to the ocean, because if I did, it was just going to splash up all over me. So I needed to have a certain amount of distance, and I didn't know if I could reach that far with throwing the metal into the ocean, because I brought one with me. But I knew I had to try. Same thought that I had in the dream.
Exactly.
I reached my arm back as hard as I could and as strong as I could. I threw the metal over the ocean. A big wave came, scooped it up, and then I felt all this electricity shooting through my body. Something wonderful was happening, but I didn't know what. Once again, in the dream.
Well, now, speaking of wonderful things, I understand that you are like Johnny Appleseed, only you are Claire Metalseed, and you you give medals to people in many different places, and you also put them in streams and oceans and elsewhere. What are some of the other things you do in your metal spreading service, Claire?
I do. Thanks for asking. Well, I had heard that Mother Mary had been asking modern-day visionaries to get the medals out to the people, throw them in rivers and lakes and stick them under rocks and put them in places where your heart draws you to, not to think of the miraculous medal like a good luck charm or anything like that. The miraculous medal is a symbol of a prayer and intent. And so every time we share a medal with someone or share it with nature or wherever it may go, even if it's a building, I left a couple of them down there in NASA when I visited. They're everywhere. But
and now
that's
Steve,
so that people...
Oh, excuse me, and Steve was actually healed then, wasn't he?
Yes, when I returned from L.A. and went back to work, Steve was there. And he was out of the wheelchair and walking.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And I said to him, oh, my gosh, what happened? And he said, you know, when you gave me that miraculous medal, I don't know what happened, but I just decided I didn't want to be in that chair anymore, and I got up out of it, and I started walking, and I'm not going to get back in that chair.
What a tremendous story. Well, now that brings us to the point of asking you for the website address for ordering online these miraculous medals by the hundreds, so that other people can join you if they wish in giving miraculous medals to other people and putting them here and there around the planet. Can you give us that website, Claire?
Sure, yes. The place where I order these medals from is the Association of the Miraculous Medal. They're located in Perryville, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a website where you can order them. And they have different types of metals. The ones that I have been ordering are aluminum. It doesn't matter what type of metal it is. The important thing is what it symbolizes and the prayer that goes with it.
And they're very reasonably priced, is that right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I order them by hundreds, and I just share them wherever I feel led to, or just, you know, whenever I just feel that this is the place to have one. But this is a website. It's amm.org. So that's A for Association, M for Miraculous, M for Medal. .org, amm.org. I order them from there. There are other places where people can get these medals as well. But I encourage people that when they do order them to share them where they feel drawn to.
Thank you very much for including that information. I'm sure lots of people will want to do that. And as Claire says, you don't have to be Catholic to enjoy wearing a miraculous medal or giving it to other people or sharing in the joy of the miracles that are associated with the medal. And now, Claire, I'd like to ask you if you'd be willing to tell us the story of the flower and the Mary statue.
Yes, one of the important messages that Mary is sharing with us in most recent times especially, have been about the heart. And my husband and I had noticed that we had this glass heart that was given to us as a gift. It's about the size of a paperweight. And it's clear, it's a clear glass with a pink color inside. And after about 7 years of having this wonderful heart sitting on the desk, all of a sudden one day it was blue, very, very blue. And my husband asked me, "What, didn't this used to be pink?" And I said, "Yes." And what we noticed that over the weeks, it kept shifting back and forth from pink to blue and pink to blue, and we were really wondering, well, what's the message here? And then during that time, I have a statue of Mother Mary that I had out on my balcony, and directly across from it, on the other side of the balcony, is a potted plant that has these pink flowers on there. And one day when I was out watering all of the plants, I noticed that the plant that had the pink flowers, which, by the way, early on in the season, it bloomed a couple of flowers. Those flowers had dropped away, and there had not been any more flowers the rest of the season on this plant. But that day, I would say several weeks later, there was a vine that went from that plant that stretched all the way across the width of the balcony. And the vine at the very tip of it had a pink full-bloom flower with a little baby bud off to the side, and it centered completely in front of the heart of the statue of Mother Mary.
Now, how far away was the plant originally, this vine, from the Mary statue?
I would say it was a good 3.5 feet, maybe 4 feet, something like that.
So the vine simply suddenly started growing in the direction of the statue, and the flower moved in the direction of Mary's heart. We'll see that on the website. Our website is connieshaw.com, that's C-O-N-N-I-E-S-H-A-W.com, if you'd like to see this statue and flower that Claire is referring to.
Yes. The interesting thing about this is that you would think that the very weight of the flower at the very tip of the vine would have brought the flower down and drooped down maybe toward her feet, but it stood straight out directly over the heart of the statue of Mother Mary.
The vine and the flower almost defied gravity, as it were.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's as if someone were holding it up and in front of her heart.
Yes, it was quite unusual and quite an inspiration. What did you think or feel when you observed this?
I knew that it had to be a message of the heart. She was really pointing to the heart this way. And when I leaned down to look closer, I could see that there was a pink glow coming off of the area where her heart was. And it, as if it were being reflected off the flower. However, the sun was directly behind her, so the flower was not receiving any of the sunlight behind her because it was shadowed by the chest area of the statue.
Now, can you tell us, Claire, at this point, approximately what was the height or the size of the statue and what was the material that it was made of?
I would say that the statue of Mother Mary is probably about, I wish I had measured it for you, but I would say probably about 1 foot tall, maybe 2 feet tall, somewhere in between there. And this statue of Mary is just solid white. So
it seems to be made out of cement.
Yes,
cast
exactly.
Concrete or cement, as I see the photo. Would you say that's probably true?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
And I have to say also that another very unique thing that happened here. In just moment, at this moment that I discovered this, I decided I haven't taken pictures of the heart, glass heart, or certainly this experience, and I felt like I needed to do this. So I went ahead and photographed this, and then went in the other room and started photographing the glass heart. And then when I returned, which I was only in the other room for just a few moments, when I returned, the flower that was on the center of Mary's heart on the statue had moved completely off to her right shoulder. Off of the right shoulder, not on it, but off of it.
In other words, that's while you were inside photographing the glass heart, then the flower moved on its own.
On its own. And then it moved back to the center of her heart moments later, and then off of the left side of her shoulder, then moments later back to the center of the heart, then just a moment later off the right of her shoulder again, and then back to the center of her heart once more, and it remained there.
That is extraordinary. Well, I'd like to ask you at this point, Claire, a bit about your childhood. I understand that as you were growing up, that your early childhood and youth were comprised of many traumas and losses and upheavals, but that you never lost your faith in God, and that, in fact, Mother Mary has been a source of great refuge for you since you've been an adult. You said that you had not grown up as a Catholic. Did your family go to church, and what were some of the more challenging aspects of your childhood and youth that you had to deal with?
Well, it's true. There was no Catholicism in my family growing up. My family really did not go to church. They acknowledged God, but there were no spiritual practices in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And so my own innocent, childlike way of connecting with God was what I really had. And on occasion, when I might visit a friend of mine and spend the night and maybe go to church with them the next day, on rare occasions that might happen. And so I would have a little bit of exposure to some church, and then later on in years, when I was living with my father, my parents were split up. When I was living with my father, he had remarried, and my stepmother was Catholic, and I went with her a couple of times. Just a couple of times to the cathedral. And I remember when I was there at the church, there was a lot of talk about Mary. And I didn't understand it. I thought all of our spiritual connection was with God only, and I didn't realize that there were other divine beings that were just as much part of one's spiritual life. And an interaction that we could have. So it was a rare occurrence for me to be exposed to anything regarding Mother Mary in my early years.
Would you say that you began to pray to Mother Mary around 1990 and that you have continued to pray to her and to have a deep relationship with her and Jesus without so much as an exterior form or ritual? It's been an entirely personal relationship on the interior.
Well, my relationship with Mary has been very personal, and I wouldn't say that I prayed to her. I would say that it was around 1989 that I started to have some awakening experiences in coming to an awareness that something really big was going to happen with the planet and with humanity, and I didn't know where this was bubbling up from.
Yes.
But as I would see reports of things happening on TV where fishermen were pulling nets up and dolphins were caught in the nets, and they would leave them there on the decks to die rather than return them to the ocean, things like that. Mm-hmm. It struck me so deeply that I prayed to God, and I said, God, something has to be done. I want to help. What can I do? And it was shortly after that that I started receiving these visions and experiences with Mother Mary. And she told me that, yes, it is very good to be helping the planet, and there's even more that's going to be happening besides things with the planet, and that and I said, I want to help. And so that's how the journey seemed to have opened up in my way of helping. And so during the 90s, I would share Mary's lullaby, which I have spoken about in part one, and I would share some of her messages at different places, churches and conferences and things like that. But she had also begun seeding me with the idea to get as much of this information out to people as possible, and to do that, I was having dreams where I was being shown that I would work on talk shows, producing and hosting talk shows. And I wasn't anywhere near doing that when I was mm-hmm. having these dreams. But those things did manifest, and I did start hosting a radio talk show where we brought forth body, mind, spirit, and earth conversations to help with the shift in consciousness that humanity is going through right now.
And speaking of shift, we have about 3 more minutes before we have to wrap up part 2. So, Claire, I'd like to ask you, in closing, what advice could you give our listeners regarding what they can do in addition to prayer or meditation or putting miraculous metals in strategic places around the planet? What would you urge them to do? What is Mary's message to us about these times and about helping each other and about keeping our connection to Source strong and bright?
There was a theme that happened with the story that I shared about the statue of Mother Mary and the flower, and yes. also the glass heart that changed colors.
Yes.
It's drawing us back to the heart in any circumstance, in any occasion, in any event, conversation, or interaction with another person or our planet. Always remind ourselves to go back to the heart.
And this
that's
is not,
where the wisdom is.
Yes, and that's not the physical heart. It's not the heart chakra that Mother mm-hmm. Mary says. It's the actual heart space, which is about 1 inch behind the physical heart, and it's where all wisdom abides and where we can hear her voice, and we can mm-hmm. hear and experience the voice of Jesus and his presence and her presence. I'm so glad you mentioned the connection with the heart. Is there anything else you'd like to add to that, Claire?
Yes. In drawing your consciousness and awareness back to that space, that heart space,
mm-hmm.
it is through that space that we can be guided.
Yes.
And as to where we need to be, what we might need to be doing, who we might need to be with, what we might need to share, things of this nature, so that it is that higher intelligence, that spiritual intelligence that's working through us. And so pulling our attention back to that heart space helps us to be within ourselves and express in the world through the heart space.
That's magnificent. Claire, it's been, again, a delight to have you on the show, and I want to thank you for everything that you have shared with us, the stories, the uplift, the healings, the gift, the phenomena. In fact, I would like to have you on yet again for another show that focuses on preparation for these times of crisis. Would you be willing to come back?
Yes, thank you very much for asking. I would love to.
You're entirely welcome. Well, we'll do it again very soon. And that concludes our show, Awakening Talks with Compelling People. You've been listening to our guest, Claire Pepin of Loveland, Colorado, who is a journalist and visionary. I'm your host, Connie Shaw. Thanks for spending time with us this evening. Remember, you have a unique set of skills, talents, and experience which other people need. Fulfill your life purpose by doing selfless service in your community today. Your unique love will help to soften suffering in someone's life. In fact, you are love itself. Share it and watch it multiply in your own life.